Savitri, Book 12, Epilogue, The Return to Earth, page 721 to 722. She closed her arms about his breast and head, as if to keep him on her bosom worn forever through the journeying of the years. So for a while they stood entwined, their kiss and passion-tranced embrace a meeting point in their commingling spirit, one forever. Two-souled, two-bodied, for the joys of time. Then hand in hand they left that solemn place, full now of mute, unusual memories, to the green distance of their sylvan home, returning slowly through the forest's heart. Round them the afternoon to evening changed. Light slipped down to the brightly sleeping verge, and the birds came back winging to their nests, and day and night leaned to each other's arms. Now the dusk shadowy trees stood close around like dreaming spirits, and delaying night, the gray-eyed pensive evening heard their steps. And from all points the cries and movements came of the four-footed wanderers of the night approaching. Then a human rumor rose, long alien to their solitary days, invading the charmed wilderness of leaves, once sacred to secluded loneliness, with violent breaking of its virgin sleep. Through the screen dusk it deepened still, and there neared, floating of many voices and the sound of many feet, till on their sight broke in, as if a colored wave upon the eye, the brilliant, strenuous, crowded days of man. Topped by a flaring multitude of lights, a great, resplendent company arrived. Life in its ordered tumult, wavering came, bringing its stream of unknown faces, thronged with gold-fringed headdresses, gold-broidered robes, glittering of ornaments, fluttering of hems. Hundreds of hands parted the forest boughs, hundreds of eyes searched the entangled glaze. Calm, white-clad priests, the grave-eyed sweetness brought, strong warriors in their glorious armor shone, the proud hooved steeds came trampling through the wood. In front, King Deomatsina walked, no more blind, faltering-limbed, but his far-questing eyes restored to all their confidence and light, took seeingly this imaged outer world. Firmly he trod, with monarch step, the soil. By him that queen and mother's anxious face came, changed from its habitual burdened look, which, in its drooping strength of tired toil, had borne the fallen life of those she loved. Her patient paleness wore a pensive glow, like evening's subdued gaze of gathered light departing, which foresees sunrise, her child, sinking in quiet splendors of her sky. She lives a while to muse upon that hope, the brilliance of her rich receding gleam, a thoughtful prophecy of lyric dawn. Her eyes were first to find her children's forms,